Hi, we're here with Bruce Monrad, chairman of Northeast Investors Trust, ticker symbol NTHEX. Bruce's high yield fund is one of the longest standing bond funds in the industry, and Bruce is clearly one of the longest tenured managers in the industry as well. So it's always great to get his perspective. What a difference a few weeks make in the fixed income market. It feels like we're in a different market come January than we were in December. In the fourth quarter of 2018, we saw really the high quality end of the spectrum in fixed income take charge. We saw government bonds, high quality corporates really take the lead, whereas high yield bonds and bank loan funds, those really did lag in that fourth quarter. 3 weeks into January, the script has been flipped. And I wonder, which trend do you think is the trend that people ought to be following?
Yeah, we would say that the trend in January will continue. Our view would be that spreads between corporate bonds and high yield bonds and treasuries, which widened out considerably in the fourth quarter, they will continue to narrow into the rest of 2019. And so that should be good for credit as opposed to treasuries.
Bruce, high yield has been in particular hard to read this year. It was only in December where we were in a month where there was a lot of hand-wringing concerning the fact that there had been no high yield issuance that month, and that was the first time we've seen that in more than a decade. We're in January now, and all of a sudden the optimism seems to be rising. We've seen several Wall Street strategists come out and elevate their expectations for high yield performance this year. What explains that?
Yeah, no, we would think that that it's a very plausible argument that returns in 2019 for high yield will be quite good. Spreads and yields widened out considerably in the fourth quarter, and that really might have set the market up for a pretty good 2019.
Bruce, high yield is an economically sensitive sector. Do you get a sense that the performance of the high yield market so far in January, albeit 3 weeks, is a good sign for the economy overall in 2019?
Yeah, I think that the bounce in high yield is suggesting that the recession fears that took place at the end of 2018 were a bit overblown. So I think it is a good indicator.
Bruce, just to make clear, you don't expect a recession in 2019 based on what you're seeing right now in the economy?
No, we're relatively sanguine on the economy. We don't think that expansions die of old age. We think there were a couple of one-time items that contributed to the soft patch in the fourth quarter, and we don't think that the increases in interest rates that took place during 2018 are really going to impact the economy negatively into 2019 very much at all.
What about housing and oil? A lot of folks are looking at what they would consider the signs of a potential downturn in housing, and certainly the volatility in the oil market as signs that perhaps there might be some underlying problems in the economy. Do those worry you at all?
Yeah, the home builders that we listen to, they are saying that there was indeed a pause in new sales. We think that that's a temporary phenomenon as buyers get adjusted to the higher payments that are associated with higher mortgage rates. And then over on oil, we think the supply-demand balance is actually quite favorable. There are a lot of things that are going to go right in oil, we think. And so we're relatively sanguine on oil prices going forward.
For most of last year, investors were really worried about rising rates, but you were really among the first to tell people not to focus solely on those risks. You were telling people that there were geopolitical risks out there, such as Brexit, there was the trade war issues, slowing China. All of those things were on the table. So this is what I don't get. Those things are still on the table. Brexit is probably as messy as ever. We've got China still slowing. The trade war is still an issue. And now we've got the longest government shutdown in the U.S. in history. Yet the markets seem to be overlooking that this year, whereas they weren't overlooking that in December. Can you explain what's changed?
Yeah, Paul, it's always good to think about tail risks and particularly tail risks from geopolitical events, which may be low probabilities, but are still nonetheless possibilities. What's different now compared to, let's say, October 1, is that actually the market is pricing in a few of these things. Spreads have widened out. And so it obviously does make sense to keep focused on them, but you are at least now getting paid for some of those risks.
Bruce, you've talked about Brexit and Italy as being two major overseas concerns that could potentially spill over into the U.S. financial markets. Could you give us a sense of what the best and worst case scenarios you would have for Brexit right now?
Yeah, best case would be, let's say, a second referendum and no Brexit. And a worst case would be what they call a hard Brexit. That would be possibly disruptive to the economy there.
Bruce, do you get a sense that a hard Brexit is in any way priced into the market right now?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, the world is a big place and the UK economy matters, but I'm not sure that there will be serious global implications even in the event of a hard Brexit.
Bruce, let's turn to a topic that was really in the news last year but seems to be less so this year, and that's the Fed. Last year, there was certainly a lot of concern that the Fed would overplay its hand and raise rates too aggressively. This year, it's the opposite. There are some people who believe the Fed will be on hold the entire year. And in fact, there are some people who are even thinking that the next Fed move could be a cut rather than a hike. What do you think the Fed's likely to do this year?
Yeah, our view would be that the Fed is going to go more slowly than people were thinking a bunch of months ago. And so our view would be probably two rate increases, one in June and one in December. It's going to take them some time to prepare the markets if they do choose to, if they plan to raise interest rates, because the markets, as you say, are predicting very little in the way of rate increases at this moment. So the market's very aggressive with regard to its view on interest rates. And that's, again, one reason why we think that high yield and credit in general, those are pretty good places to be.
And just so we don't ignore the subject, in this environment, what is your sense of inflation and the risk that inflation could bring to bear?
Headline inflation is going to be under some pressure now as the impact of lower oil prices goes through. We would say that, as I mentioned earlier, we're relatively sanguine on oil prices. We think that they will bounce, so that we think that's transitory. But again, for the very near term, I think there will be some downward pressure on pricing.
Bruce, what about the long end of the curve? Do you think the long end will cooperate with a more go-it-slow Fed?
The long end is also very aggressively priced. The term premium, which is to say the premium you get for owning long-term bonds versus short-term bonds, is negative at this point. So that's a very ambitious set of circumstances. We tend to think that as recession fears dissipate, that the long end will drift higher. And that's not exactly something that the Fed is opposed to. The Fed is concerned about an inverted yield curve. So I'm not sure that that's going to bother them that much if the long end drifts higher as recession fears fade.
So let me just kind of get a recap here. It sounds like you're saying that we have mild inflationary concerns. If rates do rise in the long end of the curve, it'll be kind of a gradual, mild increase. The economy seems to be doing reasonably well. That all sounds very hopeful.
That's right. We think that the concerns from the fourth quarter were a bit overblown, and that they will fade, and we will be thinking pretty good things about the economy and hearing pretty good things about the economy 90 days from now.
So, Bruce, in light of all of that, have you done anything differently with your portfolio, or did you kind of stay the course during that rocky end of last year? And are you positioned to take advantage of the scenario that you're describing?
Yeah, we entered the fourth quarter with the portfolio very much overweighted with short duration bonds. And in response to spreads having widened out during the fourth quarter, we have incrementally been adding duration in the portfolio and trying to pick up some upside because of the increase in interest rates.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, Bruce. That was Bruce Monrad, chairman of Northeast Investors Trust, ticker symbol NTHEX. Thank you.